And I beheld, and behold, in the midst of the throne, a lamb as it had been slain, let us pray. O God, our Father, we come into thy house to worship thee. We come to say and to confess and to rejoice that thou art the Lord our God, and that thou hast bidden us to come. In thy great church and with thy great church triumphant, we say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto thee that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, forever and ever. O God, our Father, behold us now in thy presence, we pray thee, and look down upon us in thy great compassion, and have mercy upon us. For thou art our Creator, and we are thy created ones. Thou art our King, and we are thy subjects. Thou art our Father, and we are thy children. Thou art our friend, and we are thy chosen ones. We thank thee for this beautiful sanctuary in which we worship. We thank thee for the joy of being here together, students and learners in thy house. We thank thee for the fellowship of our friends and our loved ones round about us. But we thank thee best of all for these continuing services through this month. Thank thee for the joy of thy presence, for the name of Jesus Christ, and for the ministry of thy Holy Spirit. Remember us then, good Lord, we pray thee, our babes and our children, our young people and ourselves. Young mothers and fathers, those of us who are in the midst of the years, those of us who live alone and must make our own way in the world, those of us from whom our children have now departed to live their own lives, and those of us that draw nearer to the end of the day, we thank thee for each family which goes to make up the fellowship of this school during this month. Therefore we heap upon thee, our Father, our thanksgiving and our blessing and our praise. And we ask thee once again that thou wilt receive us in the name of the Beloved, and thou wilt accept us for the sake of Jesus Christ our Saviour, who taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. hymn is number 245. Art thou weary, heavy laden? Hymn number 245. It would not be gracious if I did not take this opportunity of saying to Dr. Binkley and to Dr. Durham my very great appreciation for this invitation and privilege to speak in chapel this week. I also would like to say how much I appreciate your own presence here and the help that you have given to me in the conduct of this worship. And you will all agree with me, I am sure, that I must thank our pianist for the way in which she has helped me so much. I am tremendously grateful to her. I sometimes ask organists in our country if they'll be good enough to play just one theme through the different parts of the communion service, and I have great difficulty in getting them to understand that I really do mean only one piece, one theme. But I've had no difficulty here at all. She's been as good as gold and has done exactly as I wanted her, and I'm very grateful. The chapel is the center of our seminary in Oxford. That is the great glory of the residential principle which we adopt in Oxford. It was in 1827 that a room was first set apart in our seminary as used for a chapel. Therefore, you won't mind my saying that this is the part that I've enjoyed most during this month. It is the privilege of coming to chapel each morning to rest in the presence of God. And as I say to my own students, when any one of them is absent from college chapel, it is an extra wound in the body of Christ. It is our custom in Oxford to hold a very special week once every 3 years during the lifetime of each student. We set apart a week in March and we say this week shall be for us the last week of the life of Jesus Christ. And every day in chapel we recapitulate in the morning and in the evening, like the morning and the evening sacrifice of the scriptures. We recapitulate the events of the last week of the life of Jesus Christ. In this March, Dr. Caird, that great New Testament scholar in Oxford, spoke to us at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then each evening at 9:45, with a communion service on the Thursday night, we bring the day to a close. And in that way, we all of us remind ourselves and we learn off by heart, so that we could all say to you at any time, this is what happened today, Palm Sunday. This is what happened on Monday. This is what happened on Tuesday. This is what happened or did not happen on Wednesday. This is what happened on Thursday. And this is what happened on Friday. I have always said that if ever I would be a president of a seminary, I would insist upon this in the life of each student. And of course, the residential principal in Oxford makes this possible. The students are always reluctant to join in because it's an extra chore. But when the week is over, they all confess that they were at fault. And this year, a group of them came to me and said, there is one thing missing in our celebration of this last week. I said, I know what it is before you say to me. It is the fact that we don't even spend any time on the resurrection. And they said yes. But because the day of the resurrection is Sunday, and because most of them are away preaching, we have never done it. Whether we shall do it in future, I don't know. But we don't do it. But it's strange that that sort of student delegation making this representation to me made me think of something which came home very forcibly. And I want to share that with you this morning. We think of the events of that week, how they came to an end on Friday. And we think how late on Friday afternoon they hurried to bury his body, probably unwashed, in order to keep the lawn to be back in the city by the appointed time before the gate shut. They had to hurry to bury him as quickly and as respectfully as they could. And then we have this mysterious gap through Friday night and all through Saturday, through Sunday morning. And then we almost begin again, Sunday morning, Easter day. And I have something very simple to say to you this morning. Something very, very simple. It is this. That when I was reflecting upon what my students had said to me, I realized in a way that I had never realized before, how the cross flows over into the resurrection. How Good Friday extends its influence into Easter Sunday. I want to share with you then this very simple reminder of the cross on Easter Sunday, the cross in the resurrection. Of this there is nothing in St. Matthew, unless there's an implied hint when the disciples caught hold of his feet. Of this there is certainly nothing in St. Mark. Whether there was in the last ending, I do not know. But certainly in St. Luke, we know the story, for example, of the Emmaus Road, how this stranger joined them on the route. And you will remember that he came up to them and spoke to them. And when they drew near to the village, they invited him to stay with them, not knowing who he was. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. They saw his hands. They looked at each other. And then the identity of this strange and charming traveler was known to them. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. And then he vanished from their sight. As he walked along, he must not have gesticulated at all. His hands must have been kept closely to his side. But when they sat at the meal, he took bread. And they saw his hands. This is what they said to the disciples when they saw them later. They told what things were done on the journey and how he was known of them in breaking bread. And as they were thus speaking, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened. And they thought that they had seen a spirit. And he said, Why are you troubled? And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. How can I convey to you the utter pathos, the utter helplessness of the risen, glorious Lord, that with his own friends, all he can do is it is the cross that is the real power with the disciples on Resurrection Day. It is the cross which Jesus Christ uses to rehabilitate himself in their minds and spirits on Resurrection Day. So it is in not only in St. Luke, but in St. John, isn't it? Again, the unutterable pathos of it. When the disciples had gathered together in the evening of Easter Sunday, there has been so much that day. There was Mary in the morning. Do you remember she thought that he was the gardener? And she said to him, Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away and bury him in my tomb. You don't talk about a living person like that, you see. What she meant was this: sir, if you have taken it away, tell me where you have laid it, and I will take it away, and I will lay it in my tomb. And he said to her, Mary. And then she knew it. But you know, I wonder if he said, Mary. Did she see his hands? And that night when he met them for the first time, he stood in the midst of them and saith, Be peace be unto you. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And Thomas wasn't there, you see. And Thomas said that he wouldn't believe it at all. And you remember the following week when Thomas was with them and Jesus came. Jesus goes straight to him, Thomas. Reach hither thy finger. The cross is the clue to the resurrection, you see. The cross is the way in which Jesus identifies himself as risen. It is the marks of the cross which are the clue to the risen Lord. There are three things that I wish now very simply to say. The first is this. You do realize, Jesus, that, don't you, that you will only recognize Jesus Christ from now on as a crucified person. You will never see him in any other way. A crucified Lord and a crucified slave. If ever it will be given to us to see the vision of the throne of majesty on high where the great God sits, you know that in some way there is in the midst of that throne a lamb. But that lamb, though living, has the appearance of being dead. As it were slain, the living lamb in the midst of the throne is a dead lamb, a slain lamb, and they shall look upon him whom they pierced. When we think of the cross of Jesus Christ, how dark and dreadful it is, how ugly and sinful it is, the place of hatred and of malice, of confusion, of separation, of death. But when we see it like this flowing on into the resurrection, when we see that the cross is eternal, when we see that the Son of God bears about in his body the marks of the crucifixion, so that the deeds of Good Friday have received an eternal stamp and can never be obliterated, then we can see that it is the marks of the cross which are the beginning of the creation of the communion of the saints. We often call, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the Baptist hymn, don't we? And we take hands together and we sing it. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. And John Fawcett in the hymn talks about the tie and describes the tie and dwells on it and how lovely it is. But he never once says what it is. He never once says what the tie is. And do you know what the tie is? The tie is what brought those disciples in the Emmaus road into the kingdom. The tie is what turned doubting Thomas into believing Thomas. The tie is what turned Mary's blindness into sight. You know what the tie is that binds our hearts in Christian love, that is the cement of the communion of saints? The answer is, hath he marks to lead me to him? In his hand and in his feet. I must now simply testify to you, not polemically, but out of great thanksgiving and humility, that Christianity is meaningless to me without the resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Hast thou marks to lead us to thee, Lord? If thou be our guide, in my feet and hands are wound prints and my side. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you, give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be with us all. And with our loved ones in this great continent and across the ocean, this day and forevermore. Amen.